Good evening and welcome to Three Mile Wesleyan Church here in sunny, humid Elkview, West Virginia on this Wednesday night, 10th day of June 2026. And we want to welcome our online audience joining us in. And as always, we appreciate you guys and love to hear from you. If you're watching online, click that like button. Give us a heart. Give us a funny face, whatever. Give us a comment. And as always, if you have a prayer request, we'd love to pray for you. Let us know you're there. And just a couple of quick announcements we passed on earlier. In 18 days, on Sunday, June 28th, Brother Bill Barr will be here. He's one of our candidates for pastor at this church. He'll be here on Sunday, the 28th, and also the following Wednesday, July 1st. Looking forward to a great time having him here. And then on July 12th and 13th, we've got a posse going down to Roanoke, Virginia for our Shenandoah Wesleyan Conference. And looking forward to a great time then in July. That's all I got as far as announcements. We're going to roll right into our devotional. And tonight's devotional is entitled, The Intent of the Inexplicable. Just bear with me. The Intent of the Inexplicable. Tonight we're going to be delving into the book of Acts. Book of Acts, a New Testament book that is commonly known as the Acts of the Apostles. And this is the time period immediately following the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And right after Jesus gave his disciples the great commission to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And we're going to pick up the story in Acts chapter 2. This is on the day of Pentecost, where the disciples have been granted supernatural abilities that could not be explained by the teachers of the law. We're going to go right into our Bibles in Acts chapter 2. I'll be reading from the New International Version, Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Thus reads the Word of God. Father, as we delve into the book of Acts today, God, it's an awesome thing to see your power and your might displayed through ordinary men, God, for your glory and for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What an awesome thing, Father. We thank you. Praise that you guide us tonight as we study. In Jesus' name, amen. And through the Holy Spirit, God enables ordinary men. And these disciples of Jesus Christ were definitely ordinary men. To accomplish what any clear-thinking person would consider to be simply impossible. These verses describe a visual representation of the presence of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit enables these men to speak in other languages. And the word tongues in this text specifically means languages. In other words, these ordinary men began to speak in known languages, but they were languages that were not known to these men. And if verse 4 were simply the end of the story, we'd all be left wondering what the reason was that suddenly these uneducated, ordinary, blue-collar men suddenly became gifted with supernatural abilities. But fortunately for us, there's a nice explanation in the next few verses. And we're going to keep reading here in verse 5. There we go. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Verse 12, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? In a truly extraordinary series of miraculous events, people who came from all over the world had come to Jerusalem, and every one of them just heard the gospel of Jesus Christ spoken in their own native tongue. These men are all acknowledging some supernatural activity has just taken place, but they cannot explain it. What they have just witnessed is completely inexplicable. So if you don't like that word, inexplicable just means something for which no rational explanation would account for it. And no rational explanation would account for what these men have just heard. What just happened? And what is the purpose of it? What's the meaning behind all of it? As always, there were some doubters hanging around, trying to poke fun at everyone, mocking them even though they themselves did not have any kind of legitimate explanation. We keep reading in verse 13. Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. And even if they were drunk, I should point out, that would not explain what had just taken place. Now, you could say getting intoxicated might lead someone to speak a certain type of language in a certain way, but that's not what happened here. Peter gives them the real explanation as we keep reading in verse 16. Words of Peter. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Verse 19. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter is telling these guys, I got your explanation right here. What you guys just witnessed is the Lord fulfilling Scripture with signs and wonders. Peter says, what you see as inexplicable or unexplainable is not without intent. There's a purpose in all of it. And I'm going to say this, I've said this many times from this pulpit, it's the same reason that we always see when God does the supernatural. It's always the same reason. He is validating the message by validating the messenger. Jesus performed dozens of miracles, most of which are recorded for us in the Gospels, and most of which were in plain sight. Jesus did these miracles in plain sight of both ordinary people and the upper people, the people of high position. And those miracles validated the person of Jesus Christ as the Messiah that was foretold long ago by the prophets. And now that Jesus has risen, God grants the same supernatural abilities to his disciples. Why? So that the message of the gospel is validated. The message of the gospel is validated with great power. The people are asking, what does it mean? Peter tells them, this one miracle is all part of God's plan to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then Peter continues, and he speaks about the miracles that we saw in the life of Jesus as well, as we keep reading in verse 22. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. The death of Jesus Christ by the cross was not an accident. Isaiah 53 describes in excruciating detail what the crucifixion looked like. By his stripes we are healed. By his wounds we are healed. This is not an accident. This was not a diversion. This was not something that God did not plan in advance. Verse 23, Peter says, everything that happened on the cross and the tomb, everything happened by God's deliberate plan and by God's foreknowledge. So even though it was executed by wicked men, and we've talked about this many times from this pulpit, how Jesus was unjustly tried, both by a Jewish trial and by a Roman trial, all part of God's plan. It was not an accident. It was not something that God did not foresee. Instead, it was part of the plan. And Peter says, you guys handed him over. You guys nailed him to the cross. All part of God's plan. God raised him from the dead because it was impossible for death to keep his hold on him. That's an amazing thought. How God can use even wicked men doing wicked things for his glory and for our good. Peter is basically saying, there's an obvious intent here. There's an intention. This thing that you call inexplicable or unexplainable, there's a method to what you call madness. There's a meaning behind all of it. And you guys completely missed it. He says, you guys missed it. It's all part of God's plan. But a few verses later, Peter tells them that it's okay. It's not too late. There's still hope. As we continue reading in verse 36. Words of Peter. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Verse 38. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So a few verses before, Peter tells these Jews, hey, you guys are the ones responsible for killing the Messiah. And then a few verses later, he says, guess what? It's time to repent. It's time to repent. Those sins that you just committed in front of all of us, in front of a holy God, you've got an opportunity to deal with those sins. The cross of Jesus Christ is what redeems you from your sin. The cross that you nailed Jesus to is the one thing that has the power to take away your sin. What an amazing thought. The purpose in all of it is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. All the miracles, all the speaking in tongues, and soon, very soon, we're going to be looking at even more miracles. It's all to validate the message of the gospel. God desires for every human to draw near to him through the person of Jesus Christ and through his sacrificial atonement. There's only one way to God. God sets the rules. I know this is something you won't hear on talk radio. You won't hear it on The View. You won't hear it on TV. But there's only one way to God. God decides what that one way is. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And God gave us plenty of evidence that points us to Jesus. And as we wrap up here tonight, this story has a happy ending. An amazing happy ending. These same Jews These were likely, some of them, I'll say, we don't know for sure. But I would imagine at least some of these Jews were the ones saying, "Crucify him!" When Pontius Pilate was asking the crowd, "What do I do with this Jesus?" Pontius Pilate, who acknowledged that Jesus was blameless, he acknowledged that Jesus had committed no crimes, he says, "What shall I do with this Jesus?" And they're saying, "Crucify him!" Some of those same Jews are here, getting saved, repenting of their sins. Incredible. Listen to Peter's final exhortation to this same group of Jews and how they responded to the truth as we close here tonight. Acts 2, verse 40. "With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' Those that accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." That's incredible. That's what I call successful evangelism. 3,000 saved in a single day. Praise be to our God for saving sinners. Praise be to our God for allowing the disciples to perform these miracles. Why? So that the gospel of Jesus Christ could be extended. The gospel of Jesus Christ could reach the entire world. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I've heard the gospel of Jesus. I'm glad the disciples, we know the story. They went all over the world and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and did amazing miracles, all for the purpose of validating the message of the gospel. And as we close tonight, if anybody's here listening to my voice and you've never turned to Jesus for forgiveness of your sins, I encourage you to be like these early Jews did. I encourage you that today is the day of redemption. Today is the day of repentance. Today is the day when you turn to God for salvation. All right? Let's close in prayer. Father God in heaven, what an amazing story from Acts chapter 2. Father, that you allowed ordinary men to speak in tongues, God, so that the gospel of Jesus Christ may be spread throughout the world, so that sinners may come to salvation. All part of your plan, God. God, we're thankful that here in the United States, thousands and thousands of miles away from Israel, God, you have allowed the gospel to reach us here. God, you have allowed us to hear the gospel, to read your word in our own language, God. What a blessing. Thank you, God, for preserving your word for all these thousands of years. Thank you for giving us a Bible in our own language. Thank you for these stories and these truths that have been recorded for us to unveil and to speak in a church where we have full freedom to do so. God, what amazing blessings you have given us. Thank you most of all, God, for the hope in the future that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ for our very redemption. And Father, if there's anyone hearing me tonight, perhaps on this broadcast, God, may they be reminded of their own mortality, be reminded that life is so very short. May they come to you today. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.